Well, turn in the scriptures this morning to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. Remember that the Bible is a book that does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is our only rule of faith and practice. It is inspired, inerrant, infallible. It is the living Word of the living God. Give your attention now. John 1, starting in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, looking at Jesus as he walked. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following him, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. So far in the reading of the word of the living God, may that word be in us a living stream of living water. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Let's pray together. Our Father, we have worshipped you in song and in prayer and in giving, and we would now worship by hearing, and hearing by the word. We thank you that you have ordained this to be the principal means of calling the elect to yourself. We pray, O Lord, that your Spirit would now be at work in the one who speaks and those who hear, that we might glorify and honor Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Do you have a title? The Honorable, or Doctor, the Reverend, Sir Duke, or you have Mr. and Mrs., perhaps. All of those titles tell a story one way or another. Jesus of Nazareth is a name that tells a story about that man. Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." The name itself is virtually a title. Isaiah, several different places in the prophet. Isaiah 7:14, "You shall call his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." At least 225 different names are associated with, given to, Christ. the most famous of those names, Advocate. The Rose of Sharon, one of my favorites. The Lion of Judah. The Alpha and the Omega. The Second Adam. The Ancient of Days. The Good Shepherd. Very famous ones. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. And there are many others. John. Just the first chapter has over a dozen different monikers, if you will. In verse 1, Christ is called the Word of God. Verse 7, Light, the only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Rabbi, Messiah, Son of Joseph, King of Israel, Son of Man. In just the first chapter, just the way he's referred to is telling us a great deal about him. We learn a lot from that list of names. But John does something no one else does. The Holy Spirit, through John, shows us an aspect of Christ in a name that's only given here. He's never referred to by this name by anyone else. But John, here and in Revelation, when he identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God, is revealing in that name a theology about the role of Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, the complete sum of the gospel in a name. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have here people who are seeing and seeking Jesus. And it's interesting the way it starts there in verse 29. Behold. We don't use that word in our normal everyday language. But it means, let me get your attention. Wake up. Yo, hey, whatever. It's an expression trying to get your attention. Take notice. Don't miss this. That's the way behold should be understood. John was a man who was looking for Jesus. When he was in the womb, if you remember, from Luke's gospel, when Mary comes, he leaps in the womb of Elizabeth at the very greeting from Mary. So, from before he was born, Jesus was a big influence on John's life. So John, it very clearly looks like regenerate in the womb. John studied the scriptures, studied the prophets, the preaching, the teaching. His whole life was leading up to this encounter, which is relayed in verses 19 through 27. He told the experts about Jesus. He reminded them, I'm not Jesus. I'm not Christ. The next day, he sees Jesus coming toward him. And what does John do? John puts the attention fully on Jesus, on Christ. Behold, this is he says, verse 30. This is the one. All the things I've been talking about. Here he is. This is what all the baptizing's been about. He is preferred before me. There is a Redeemer. And it is Jesus, God's own Son. Superior to any messenger. And John had a big following. He was a big deal. But John did not know that Jesus was the Messiah, even though there was something going on in John from the womb. He didn't know. Is that what he say in verse 31? I didn't know him. But that he should be revealed. God had to open my eyes. Even though I've been looking, expecting, trusting. When the Spirit came down and the voice of God spoke and the Spirit revealed to him, this is the one. This is the one. This is the Son of God. So brothers and sisters, it takes the Holy Spirit to open the eyes, open your eyes to Christ. That's what it takes. Behold, that is the voice of God through the ministry of preaching, teaching, and the Word of God. And it all has one goal, that you should see Jesus. Preaching's not about you patting me on the back or any other preacher on the back. Listen, preachers like to be told, that ministered to me, I enjoyed that. Thank you for the word, Pastor. We like, don't stop doing that, please. But the whole focus is on Jesus. That you would wake up out of your sin-induced sleep and see Christ. That's the goal. Behold, the Lamb of God. Lambs were the center of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And they weren't sacrificed just once a year. I don't think we fully comprehend. Yes, the Passover lamb was once a year, Exodus 12, with the blood on the door. But that blood represented the atonement for sin. However, there was also, all you have to do is read through Leviticus, right? Morning and evening sacrifices. There were burnt offerings every day. You understand, there was a smell coming from the tabernacle and the temple, the synagogue, all the time. You come home at the right time of year, the right time of day, and your neighbor's barbecuing in the backyard. When your wife says, what's for dinner? I hope it's barbecue. Because you smell that smell. Well, there was a smell about the worship of God. Twice on the Sabbath, there was a trespass offering. That is, when someone sinned, the excluded person, the person whose sin excluded them from worship, would bring a sacrifice to be restored so that the relationship would be healed. All of those sacrifices were symbolic of what needed to happen. They were a shadow which pointed to the Lamb of God, who was none other than the person and work of Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God, the substitute, the once for all sacrifice, the precious blood of Christ that every sinner needs on the door of their heart. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You understand that God's gift of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ is the very thing that reconciles a sinner to God. One of the problems with this passage is that people sometimes get stuck on the sin of the world. Does that mean that everyone is saved? Well, no. If you think about the rest of the Bible, John 3, 17 and 18, John 10, John 6, Romans 9, several other places, wherever in the world this gospel is preached, he takes away, Christ takes away sin. It's not universal salvation. What most of the world doesn't like about biblical, or if you will, reformed teaching, is that the atonement is for particular people. Christ dies for his sheep. That's the teaching of the Bible. The wonder of salvation is that whosoever, anyone, anywhere, anytime, all who come to Christ believing and trusting in him alone for salvation will be saved. That's the Bible. That's the gospel. That's what we're celebrating as we get ready for his birth, remembering that marvelous and sometimes very sentimental story. Surely if you sat in this church long enough, I like Christmas. We don't avoid Christmas. Yeah, we recognize it's been encumbered and trapped with all kinds of pagan things. But there was a day when Christ was born. Angels sang. This is the only truth that will make you free from whatever sin binds you. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin. You know, there's a time of year when there's an awful lot of the question, what do people want? What do they want more than anything? Surely it's not a chia pet or some other thing that you're going to stick in a closet after New Year's and not look at again until who knows when. There are things that people want. Your conscience will not let you ignore sin. You might cover it up with a life of who knows what kind of distraction. But unless you are actually somebody dead in sin, your sin bothers you. The fact that you're not completely right with God bothers you. And nothing that you can do will remove your sin. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But God has done something. And it is the Christ, it is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How? How did Christ take it away? The Bible tells us he took that sin on himself, on his shoulders, in his flesh. We're about to think about that, illustrate that, demonstrate that, physically participate in that. He died in your place. He paid your penalty. He's not guilty of anything. Not the least sin. But Isaiah 53, the gospel in the Old Testament, if you will. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement, the wrath of God was on him for our peace. He is the Lamb of God. Are you looking? Jesus turned around in verse 38 to these followers and said, what is it you're seeking? looking for? We're looking for where you're staying. We're wondering where you're going to be. And what does Jesus do? He points them. John pointed them to Jesus. When they found Jesus, they followed him. They came to him. He said, come and see. Then the one of the two who heard John speak, who was that one of them? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What did he do? These people who were seeking Jesus, when they found him, they didn't keep him to themselves. They told other people. There are different ways to find the Lord. There is only one way to heaven. That's Jesus. Jesus said that himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is the truth. But there are many ways, can we put it this way? Many ways to Jesus. Some people come when they're young. Others when they're much older. Some of your testimony is that you came gradually, over many years. Others of you can tell a story of instantly coming to accept and follow the things of Christ. Some of you have come through sorrow. Others of you have come to Christ through great joy. And maybe there are a number of other ways. Just like a gardener who plants various plants according to type. In other words, one plant needs a lot of sun. Another plant maybe needs shade. One plant needs a lot of moisture. Another needs to be dry. You can't water a cactus every day. You won't have a cactus for long if you do that. One needs to be pruned. Another needs to be supported by a trellis. Some plants need very tender handling. Have you ever read what people who are into orchids, the patience, the time, the effort just to see one blossom? Apparently there's a flower that blossoms on one day. It's there, it's done, it's gone. And it takes a long time to get that plant to actually produce. Other plants will grow in any wind, in any soil. There are lots of ways, and that's the way a lot of us came to Christ. Don't expect Jesus to call everyone in the same way. John told Andrew, go talk to Christ. What does Andrew do? He comes to Peter. He says, we found the Messiah. Jesus found Philip, who went and found Nathanael, James and John, the sons of thunder, were fishing. Matthew was working for the government, hated by the Jews because he was an IRS agent. A woman caught in adultery. Does it bother anybody else? We never hear about the man. It's always bothered me about that story. We never hear about the man. Paul, what was he doing? Was on his way to arrest Christians when he was captured by Christ. I was 15 years old, had it all figured out. What about you? There is a glorious diversity in the way we've come to Christ. And the children of God ought to be an encouragement to strengthen and edify your faith. God expects a method to be used, some form of implementation. He used John to be a very public, big change from Old Testament to New Testament eras. There are three, if you will, main ways of coming to Christ. Some of those things stay the same, and some of them change. Behold the Lamb of God. The first way is through the preached word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. John was preaching. That's the heart of the Christian gospel. What? Look at Jesus. The aim of the whole Bible, Moses, the prophets, John, the apostles, whatever particular text, this is the true goal. We call it the telos, the end, the aim of every sermon is for you to see Jesus. So if we preach on the holiness and the love of God, where will you see that better than in Jesus, who loved the Father, obeyed the Father, was holy in his whole life? If we preach about duty, look at the gentleness, the innocence, and the obedience of Christ as your example, who willingly obeys the Father even to the point of death. If that text points out your sin, well, let's look at the seriousness of sin and the effect of sin and what is necessary to remove sin. It's the cross of Christ. If you need comfort, how does God comfort you mostly? He comforts you through Jesus Christ, who accomplishes everything that needs doing for you to be accepted by God. He's done it. He's not waiting for you to fill in the blank. He's not waiting for you to do the last step. Jesus did all of it. If we want to talk about marriage, what better picture will you find than Jesus, who gives himself for the bride, the church? The two disciples who heard John's witness, Andrew and maybe it was John, their response was what? To follow Jesus. That was how they responded to the gospel. Let me ask you, have you heard the word? Have you heard the messengers of God? He sent them to you, preachers, parents, some friend. Maybe it was a movie. A lot of Reformed people don't like to think about it, but you know how many people have come to know Christ through the series The Chosen? I've watched it 3 times. People say, oh, it has images of Christ in it. Yeah, so what? It's a powerful testimony. Some book. First book I was ever given as a Christian was a waste of time. Took a long time to get over that book. Late Great Planet Earth. But then other people gave me really good books. Maybe you came to know the word by reading the Bible. Have you heard that word? And those who listen, sometimes you have to ask the question, do they really hear? Is the gospel just background music that you don't really pay attention to? Well, there's a pastor preaching again. Sometimes he says the same things in the same way. Makes no difference. Are you really hearing? Those who hear, what did they do? They followed. They went after Jesus. Following Jesus is the true end of hearing. That's the goal of every preacher. You, converts, not to any human preacher, not interested in you being a fan of me, but are you following Christ? John said, behold. And he wasn't talking about himself. He was pointing to Christ. Are you hearing the word? The other way is through example, which Peter took. Andrew can't keep it to himself. And when he tells his brother Peter, Peter follows. There's no better service, no greater gift, nothing that you can do that will last as long as giving people a good example. Are we living as examples of Christ? The Bible says to you, Christian, go. You realize that every Christian who claims Christ is a witness. The only question is, what kind of witness are you? Are you an example of Christians? Are you an example of godliness to those around you? And then experience. Nathanael comes face to face through a personal encounter with Christ. A real experience. Brothers and sisters, you have to come to know the Lord personally. You're not going to have a face-to-face with Him. But you are going to get to know Him through your own experience. And the clearest way, Pastor, how do I grow in Christ? Read your Bible, spend time in prayer, be in worship with the body of Christ. Those three steps. If you make that your New Year's resolution, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to be at worship more. Tell me in a year that you haven't grown closer to Christ. I don't see how you could. The Bible must be heard and then heeded. The call is clear. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you believe that? Or do you think there's some other way to Christ, some other way to God than Christ? God sent His Son into the world. I know it wasn't December 25th. But He did send His Son to die for sinners who put their trust in Him. The question is, do you know this? You see, the most important thing in the world is not your title. You know, there are some people who have earned a PhD who insist on being called doctor. I've known a lot of guys. I know a man who's earned 3 PhDs and doesn't want to be called doctor ever. So I make it my point every time I see him to call him doctor something. Just to rib him a little bit. The most important thing in the world is not your title. It's what you do with the Lamb of God. The one who has this incredible name. Only John tells us this name. But you must believe that Jesus is the sin-removing sacrifice. And after believing that, you must follow Him. And following Him means sooner or later you're going to tell others about Him. John's sermon was short. It was full of Jesus. And it made followers who would imitate him. He didn't say much on this occasion. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the one who came. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that at just such a time as you saw fit, the Lord Jesus was born in a place far away, a land most of us have never seen and may never see. And yet on that occasion, the prophecy of the coming Messiah was fulfilled and Jesus was born. Thank you for that amazing reality. The story that's told. We thank you for the life lived and given, and for the powerful resurrection of Christ. O Lord, may we once again behold the Lamb of God, and thank you for taking away our sin, very particularly through him. Receive our praise and our thanks for Christ's sake. Amen.